Now listen, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Hey, mom and dad, what do you talk about at home? What do you talk about at home to your kids? That's what they're going to focus on. That's where their focus is going to be. He said, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds like it's pretty important. The Lord's putting a lot of emphasis on us talking about him and loving him. He said, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So now when we ask the question, do you love the Lord? Let me ask you, do you love the Lord the way the Bible says to love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Me and Miss Jenny have been married 37, going on 38 years. We married 38 years, June 19th. Did good. I did so good. Yeah. I've been working on that all morning. Plus, it's written right here. Yeah. When I married her, wouldn't it have been something if I said, look, I love you, but there's like five other ladies I love too? I don't think we would have the relationship we have. I just don't figure we would. No. Yet we say we love the Lord, but there's so many other things we love, and we let those things come before him so many times. And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, everything that's in us. So now let me ask you again. Do you love the Lord the way the Bible says to love the Lord? Because Coach Blankenship said you can always take your love for God and your love for others to a higher level. And I thought about this. I thought, if I take my love for God to a higher level, my love for others will automatically go to a higher level if I love God the way I'm supposed to love God. So I could not get the saying out of my mind. I couldn't get it. I could not do it. I couldn't get it out. The rest of the time, they had more singing. They had more people come up and talk. It was 2.5 hour service, and you know, it just went on and on, but I could not get that thought out of my mind. And the Lord really laid on my heart this message, and that's what I want to preach to you today. I guess if there's a good title for it, and I don't know, I guess you should have titles for your messages. I don't know. They say you should have points for your messages. A lot of my messages are pointless. And so I guess if there was a good title for it, it would be maybe be this. Are you scared of heights? Are you scared of heights? Why don't we want to take our love for God to a higher level? I want to challenge you. By the time the message is over today, maybe you can make the same commitment that the Lord's laid on my heart so many times. Take it up a step. Take it up a step. Well, I love the Lord. I know, but could you take your love for God up a step? Could you come up one step today? Because as you take your love for God to a higher level, there's going to be a lot of things that change in your life. That's what I want to look at this morning. The things that are going to happen. Good things are going to happen when you take your love for God to a higher level. Now, if you're concerned, Mark chapter 12 also uses these same verses. So they're in the Old Testament and the New Testament. If that's a concern of yours, it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Mark chapter 12, verse 28, you can read that this afternoon before you take your nap. Amen? Amen. So if we do that, if we take our love for God to a higher level, what's going to happen in our life? Well, number one, you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the Word of God. You'll love the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how we say we love this book? Boy, I love that Bible. Boy, it's so dear to me. But we never read it. I mean, for some, it's left at church, so it'll be there the next time we get there. I know some people that leave it in their cars. Yet they say they love God, and they say they love the Word of God, but they never read it. It has a place it goes to when we get home from church on the shelf, and it's never picked up again. We say, I read it when I come to church. Yeah, but if you love him the way the Bible says to love him, you'll love the words of God. You'll love. Before me and Miss Jenny got married, we met. Let me give you a little background. I was 9 years old. She was 11. She was 9 years old, and I was 11 years old. I'm older. When we got married, when we met. That would make us young, but we're not young. But we're not as old as some. When I found that out, it was so great. The whole trip was worth it to find out I wasn't as old as Brother Ross, so that helped. But she was 9, I was 11 when we met. They came to our church, joined our church. Her mom played the organ in our church, and now she just flies around on her broom. But we met them. They came to our church, joined the church the very first night. Me and a friend of mine were in the fellowship hall after services playing ping pong. She walks in and with another girl in our church, and this girl says, "Did y'all meet Jenny?" And we're like, "No, we didn't meet Jenny." And she started saying some things and talking, you know, and we both, they turned and walked out. My friend looked at me and he goes, "She's cute." And I looked at him and I said, "She's mine." And so that started this whole thing. And so for a couple of years, there was this puppy love thing, you know. I would send the note, "Do you really like me? Circle one, yes or no," you know. And back and forth we went. And then her dad got transferred to Houston, Texas. That's like going from, when you go from Oklahoma to Texas, it's like going from heaven to hell. It's just, you know, it's just a bad deal. So they got transferred to Texas and Houston, and we kind of lost contact. We didn't have cell phones because we couldn't afford them because they didn't have them. Okay. Young people are going, "What?" They didn't have cell. They haven't always been around, y'all, okay? So we didn't have cell phones, so we kind of lost contact, and we kind of went our separate ways. Well, a few years went by, 4 or 5 years probably went by, 6 years maybe, and her mom calls one day, and her older sister's getting married, wants my dad to come and do the ceremony. And so dad agreed to do that, so our whole family travels down there. So we travel down to Houston, we get to their house, we go in the house, she sees me, her eyes just start fluttering again. It's a curse, but I can't help it, but she just fell in love with me all over again, you know. And so we got to visit some there at the, it's my story, I'm telling it the way I want to tell it. So we kind of got things started again and kind of, you know, and so by the time we left there, I said, "Hey, can I write you and call you sometime?" She said, "That would be great." So I go home and I start calling her. I mean, just as soon as I get home, I start calling. I'd go into my mom and dad's room when they weren't in there, of course, it's a private call. Got on the little telephone and I would call her. And the young people are still going, "What in the world is he doing?" I'm dialing the phone, okay? It was not FaceTime. It was none of that. I was calling her on the phone. So after the first month, I mean, I'd made several calls because, I mean, I'm thinking, wow, she has really, God has been good to her. She is beautiful. I'm going to follow through with this. And so I went to call, and about every night I would call her. After the first month, my dad came to me and said, "Son, we got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "You got a $187 phone bill." I said, "Wow, Dad, that's a problem because you're only paying me $40 a week to work here." My dad kept telling me it's ministry and that's supposed to be okay. And anyway, and I said, "Boy, Dad, we got a problem." He said, "No, you got a problem." He said, "You need to get you some paper and a pencil and you need to start." My dad was old school. He didn't know we had pens. "You need to get you a paper and a pencil and start writing letters." And so I did. I would write her one letter. She'd write me 5 or 6. And then I would write another one. And she, it's kind of the way we do. And so we were working at the ranch. I was working at the ranch and I worked with the livestock there and all the horses and stuff that we had. And so I would get up in the mornings and I would drive to the post office, pick up the mail, drop it back by the ranch office, and then I would go to the barn and work with the animals the rest of the day. But when I would go pick up the mail, Dad was having me go get the mail so he could see about the church support checks in there. That's what he was looking for. He wanted those more than anything. I was looking for one letter. One letter that the return address was Spring, Texas. Because if I could find that letter, everything stopped. I mean, right there in the post office, mail could be hanging out of the box, and I would stop and open that letter and read it. Because, I mean, she could write. She knew how to write. I mean, it'd be things like, "You're the most handsome man in the world." I'm thinking, she goes to school. She's got knowledge. She should know, you know? And she's got eyes. Her vision was good then. And I'm thinking, she should, "You're the most handsome man in the world." I thought, in the world, man, that's includes a lot of people. That's a lot. "You remind me of Superman." Yeah. "I just love your eyes." I don't know what all that meant. I just knew I liked it. So I would read over and over and read all that. And I'd fold that up, put it in my pocket. I'd get the mail and I'd drive back to the ranch. I'd drop the mail off, get to my truck, and I'd pull it out and I'd read it again. I'd read through that thing again. Handsome, Superman, muscles. Yeah. Can't help it, you know. And fold it up, put it in my pocket. I'd get to the barn. I'd get down to the barn. I'd get it out again. I'd read. You know why I did that? Because I loved her. And I wanted to hear what she had to say. And we say we love God, but we won't read his letter. I mean, he's written us a letter. He's left a letter with us, and we say we love him. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the words of God. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll want to get in the word of God. Oh, we say we love him, But do we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might? You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the words of God. Not only that, you'll love the house of God. You'll love the house of God. I doubt there's anybody here like this, but probably back at our place this morning, there were people that got up this morning and said this, well, we got to go to church this morning. I'm sure they don't do it here in Indiana, but in Oklahoma, there's people like that. Well, we got to go to church this morning. If we don't go, the preacher will call. Do you understand? You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll get up on Sunday morning realizing you get to go to church today. I tell our folks often, there's people right here in our area that would love to be coming to church here, but they can't get out today. And we're able to get up and dress ourselves and get out, and we don't have the right attitude and spirit when we get to church. What a shame. What a shame. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the house of God. Parents, we do understand when we don't go to church and when we let other things, now I don't think this happens out here, but in Oklahoma, okay, I don't know about it here, but in Oklahoma, things are so messed up. Here's what happens. Sunday, they have Little League on Sunday now. We have that in Oklahoma, Little League on Sunday. And we have parents that will keep their kids out of church and take them to Little League. And we understand when you do that, you're telling your kids that Little League's more important than the things of God, right? I was playing one summer when Dad pastored in Oklahoma City. This has been a long, I was probably 13. It's been a long time ago. I got to play some YMCA ball, a little summer baseball league. You know, we were just checking. Dad just wanted to know maybe if I had some skills to go on into the, you know, major leagues. You can tell by looking at me, I don't have any skills. Okay, I'm built more for comfort than speed. So I mean, it wasn't. And so Dad allowed me to do that with another young man in the church and well, we had practice on Tuesday nights and our ball games were always on Saturday. So it worked out okay. He let me do that for a while and it went real good. I mean, the first night I was there for practice, I was put at second base. And then the second practice, there was a girl that they put at second base and put me in right field. If you don't know anything about baseball, I'm glad at this point you don't, because if you do know something about baseball, you know right field's where you put somebody right before you put them on the bench. And so put me in right field, and the girl got second base. How she got into the YMCA league, I don't really understand all that, but anyway, she was good at baseball. And so we went through about three practices, I guess, and the coach told us on Tuesday night after the third practice, he said, now I need to make an announcement. Our practices are changing to Wednesday night starting next week. And I thought to myself right then, this is not going to be good. So I devised a plan. You know, when you're wanting to talk to your parents about something you know they're not going to agree with, you kind of laugh as you say it. And so I went to my dad and I said, hey, Dad, the coach said, you know, because you keep the moment light. Because if you do that, more than likely it's going to sneak up on them. They're going to be, okay, it's fine. No. And so I said, hey, Dad, the coach said tonight that they changed practice. We're not going to be practicing on Tuesday night anymore. We'll be practicing on Wednesday night now. So Dad said, well, then you won't be playing anymore. And I thought then, and I look back now and I think, I could be signing ball cards for kids now. I mean, my name could be, you know, known all over the country had Dad not stopped my baseball career. Well, you know what my dad taught me that day? That serving God and living for God is the most important thing in my life. But when we don't do things like that, we're teaching our kids that those things are more important than the things of God. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the house of God. I mean, surely you don't stand up here when the preacher says, Monday night we have this, Tuesday night we have this, Wednesday night we have church, Thursday night we have this, Friday. Surely you don't sit out there and say, oh my goodness, we're always at church. That's not going to hurt you. That's not. I heard a lady tell my dad one time, I don't make my kids come to church because I believe you can get too much church. If you can get too much church, if it hurts you, I should be bad hurt. I lived at church. We had a daycare center open to the public. We had a daycare center at our church. My mom was the director of the daycare center. I was at church at 6 o'clock every morning. At 8:30, I walked across the parking lot to our Christian school and I went to school. As soon as I got out of school, we had a janitor that the church had hired. He was paid to do the job. But when I got out of school at 3:30, my dad said, we have another janitor that works for free. And that was me. So from 3:30 to 5:30, I did janitor work at the church. At 5:30, when most normal people would get to go home, my dad would say, son, I got to make a few more visits. you finish working here at the church and I'll be back to get you in a little bit. Well, I figured out after about 3 or 4 weeks of that, he's lying every time he says that. A little bit's going to turn into 2 or 3 hours. There were nights I would be cleaning the church and it would be dark out. And I'm 13, 14 years old and I'm cleaning the church and it's dark. And you hear noise. You've been to church in the dark by yourself? You hear noises, door slam? The organ starts playing? No. I saw that on TV one time. Scratch that. Scratch that part. That really doesn't happen. But there's noises in church. I'd be scared. I was at church all the time. My dad would come back, pick me up 9 o'clock. We'd go home the next morning. I'm back there at 6. On Saturday, we had bus visitation. Because my dad said, the more you visit, the more kids you're going to have on your bus. And so I was on my uncle's bus. And so my uncle felt like what the preacher said was true. So we would have bus breakfast. We would leave and visit all day till 5:30. But now we would pick up 60 or 70 kids on our bus on Sunday, but we visited all day. And then Sunday, I'm at church all day. When we got out of church Sunday afternoon, we would go do nursing homes. We did 3 nursing homes. We had a bunch of preacher boys that went and preached. We preached so much heresy at the nursing homes because we were just young. I mean, we preached what we thought was true. I look back now. I even found some of my notes from sermons I preached back then, and I'm like, are you kidding? I said that? That's not even scriptural. And we would go preach all afternoon and then back at church Sunday night. If you can get too much church and if it hurts you, I should be hurt. Thank God for the house of God. Thank God for opportunities at church. If you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the house of God. You'll love going to the house of God. You'll be excited. You'll get to the point where you can't wait till there's something going on at church if you take your love for God to a higher level. Not only that, if you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the service of God. Now, this is where we're going to get into some of this about our missions and our giving, because that's the service that we are allowed to do for the Lord. Yeah, giving is not just about money. We have to give of ourselves. We have to give of our time. But if you'll take your love for God to a higher level, those things won't bother you. I know people that will intentionally avoid a missions conference type service because they don't want to hear, all it's about is giving money. All it's about is giving money. That's what the Bible says. We're supposed to be givers. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the service of God. You'll look for opportunities to do things for the Lord. I mean, you'll look for ways that you can do something for God. You'll want to serve the Lord, whether it's giving in the offerings, whether it's giving to missions, whether it's driving a bus, whether it's teaching a class, whether it's cleaning up a mess. I mean, come on. You have bus routes, you have bus kids, you have messes to clean up. I heard a lady tell my dad one time, I'd stand by my dad every time people would go out of church. My dad would shake hands. I loved doing that because I loved it whenever some of those disgruntled people came out. I loved those because my dad handled them always. He always handled it so well. Now, as he got older, he didn't. But as he was younger, he handled it so well. A lady came out and she said, I hope you know that there's something, I don't remember what she said, was messed up in the bathroom. And I'm sure it was one of those bus kids. Dad goes, well, I just want you to know we got people to take care of that. And they're going to get that all fixed back up. And next Sunday when you get here, so she didn't come on Wednesday night. Dad said, next Sunday when you get here, that will be fixed and everything will be fine. I mean, you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll want to serve God any way you can. And you won't look for all the problems and difficulties at the church. You won't look for all the negative like that. I don't like negative people. I don't, because they affect me in a bad way. I start getting that way. I don't like negative people. I don't like to be around negative people. You take your love for God to a higher level. If you take it up a step, you'll love the service of God, being able to serve God, being able to do something for Him. I've never wanted to be just someone that sits in the pew. I've never wanted to be that. I've always wanted to be doing something for Him. And if you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll get there too, where you want to do something for Him, because everybody can do something. Well, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. If you can breathe on a mirror and fog it up, you can still do something for God. You can do something for God. And so if we take our love for God to a higher level, you'll love the service of God. That was 2.5. I put halves in here. That makes it sound better. Number 3. Preachers, we have our knacks and our ways, right? I mean, we have things in our statements. I like this one, and preachers go, I just want you to know I'm going to be conscious of the time. And we get real excited about that when they say that. But he didn't say anything. Conscious of the time, what's that mean? We translate that as, oh, he's not going to preach very long. That's not what he said. He said he's going to be conscious of the time. That means he can see the clock. You know, I don't intend to keep you long. That's what they, I don't intend, but they're going to keep you long. And so we have a lot of things we say. So that was 2.5. Now three. Number three, take your love for God to a higher level. You'll love the instruction and correction of God. If you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the instruction and correction of God. Now this is tough, because every time I come to church and I'm preaching, every time I open the Word of God, I'm convicted. The Holy Spirit shows me something in my life through the Word of God, and it convicts me. But you know what? Many times we get upset. We get mad. I know people that'll get mad at the preacher when he preaches certain things, and he's just preaching what God told him to preach. And they get mad at the preacher. He's preaching what God said to preach. Don't get mad at the preacher. Get mad at God. See how that works out for you. See how that comes out. That's not going to work very good. You'll love instruction and correction. Growing up as a teenager, instruction and correction. Okay, instruction was one thing. Correction was something that seemed like daily I was dealing with. Correction, discipline, abuse, whatever you want to call it, okay? However you want to label it, but I was dealing with it. It seemed like I didn't, and there was never a time when my dad would take me to the bedroom and make me bend over, and he would take that paddle that I made in shop. Mr. McDowell, I hate Mr. McDowell to this day. I'd never liked the man after that point. He had all us guys make a paddle in shop, sand it. We worked on it. It was nice. I painted mine red, and I wrote his on one side and hers on the other. I thought it was cute. One day I came home, it wasn't in my room anymore. That was never a cute paddle after that. So Dad would take that paddle and he'd paddle me. Never one time did I turn around and say, Dad, I just want you to know I appreciate that. I don't know if you've been working out or what, but you're really doing a good job. I never did. But to this day, I am so thankful. I am so thankful to this day that my dad disciplined me like he did. I never told him I was thankful when it was going on, because I wasn't. But you know what? You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love instruction and correction. When the Word of God corrects you and the message from the pastor corrects you, you won't get mad about it. You'll be thankful you've got somebody that'll tell you what the Bible says, and you'll be thankful for the conviction and the correction. I loved one thing my dad used to say a lot of times when he would paddle me, and I could turn on the waterworks. I could cry, you know, just to make him feel like he did a good job. He would say this to me. He'd say, son, I just want you to know. You know what I'm fixing to say, don't you? This hurts me more than it hurts you. And I'm thinking, well, you got to be dying then. And then I thought maybe next time I should paddle you. Because if it hurts you more than it hurts me, I should be the one hurting. So I'll paddle you. I said I thought that. I didn't say that. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love instruction and correction. We live in a day-to-day where nobody wants to be told anything. Nobody wants to be corrected. But I'm telling you, that's how we got where we are. Instruction and correction. If you'll take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love that. You'll love the correction from the Word of God. You'll love the correction from the man of God. You'll love that. You'll love that if you take your love for God to a higher level. And not only that, next to lastly, I'm just trying to give you some hope, okay? Just trying to give you some hope. Take your love for God to a higher level. You'll love the people of God. I'm talking about the people at the church. Yeah. You take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love other church members. Yeah. Yeah, you will. You'll love the people of God. My favorite people to be around is people that love God. My best friends are men of God. I need friends that's going to help me live right and do right. And you do too. Thank God for the people of God. Thank God for our church family. If you take your love for God to a higher level, because we live in a day-to-day, and even in our church in Oklahoma, and I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but in our church in Oklahoma, sometimes our church members, their best friends are people that don't even go to church, don't even live for God. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to start living like who they run with. They're going to start acting like who they run with, and before long, they're out of church. Take your love for God to a higher level. You'll love the people of God, and not only that, this, listen to this one. You'll love the man of God. Yeah, you'll love the man of God. You take your love for God to a higher level. Thank God you have a man of God that'll stand and preach to you and won't pull punches and won't avoid issues. Will tell you the truth. I don't like somebody to lie to me. I don't like somebody to sugarcoat something to me. I want to know what it is. I mean, if my preaching stinks, tell me. I want to know. But no, I want somebody to tell me the truth. I don't want to be lied to. Thank God you have a man of God that'll tell you the truth. He'll stand behind this pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord, because the Lord has spoke to him and give him the message through his word to preach to you. Thank God you have that. If you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll love the people of God and you'll love the man of God. And then lastly, now at our church, when I say lastly, they say amen. Some of them don't say it any other time, but they will at least say amen. And you know, if you'll say amen in the church, it's okay. I mean, it's good. All that means is you agree with what's being said. So if you'll say amen, which you do say amen, and that's good. But don't stop saying amen when the preacher hits a sin, because then you just told everybody you're doing it. If you're going to start amening, just amen everything he says. I mean, we got a guy in our church, he amens the spots he doesn't need to be amening. But I'll take it because I got some that never, I mean, I got some, but we have to check their pulse. I mean, I'm just really wondering, are they with us? I mean, say amen in church. It doesn't hurt a thing. It means you agree. It means you agree. So lastly, thank you. You take your love for God to a higher level and listen to me. You'll love for people to notice. You'll love for people to notice. Have you ever met anybody, you see them on the street or something, you ask them, hey, are you a Christian? I saw a guy one time, preacher that I was with, asked him, he said, hey, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah. I thought, what was that? Are we hiding it? Yeah. Are we not supposed to be? I think we got a lot of people in the secret service for Jesus. Yeah, yeah. They don't want anybody to know. You take your love for God to a higher level, you won't care if people know you're a Christian. You'll want them to see Christ in your life. You'll want them to see Christ in the way you dress. You want them to see Christ in the way you talk. I mean, you'll want people to notice Christ. I mean, about 3 years ago, not the truck we're driving now. This is the ranch's truck we're driving now. My personal truck at home, mine and Miss Jenny's personal truck at home. It's a little more redneck than this one. My wife got me a license plate for the front of it. It says preacher. Changed my life. Changed my life. She expected me to put it on my truck. Road rage is out. They don't get my order right in the drive-thru. I can't say anything. It says preacher on the front. I pull up and I just have to, she says, I'm sorry I messed your order up. Hey, don't worry about it. I'll eat whatever you gave me because I'm preacher. Huh? Yeah. It changed my whole life. We pulled into a drive-thru one day, and I'm hurrying, I really am. We pulled into a drive-thru one day, and that didn't say anything either, did it? That's preacher. I'm hurrying. I want you to know I'm hurrying. That means I'm not done yet. I still got more, and we're going to be here however much time it takes. We pulled into a drive-thru, and we pulled up there and on the little speaker, and I told we were going to Oklahoma City, so we were getting breakfast, and I told her, I said, I need a number 4 and a number 5, both of them with coffee. And the girl goes, okay, that's a number 2 and number 3 with coffee? I looked over at the Holy Spirit. I said, no, ma'am, number 4 and number 5, both with coffee. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, number 2 and number 5. Okay, I lost it. I just said, how about I pull up to the wind and tell you what I want? And I pulled up there. The Holy Spirit sitting next to me, who's with me today, she reaches over and hands me one of our tracts and said, why don't you give her this and ask her to come and hear you preach Sunday? I said, why don't you give me that tract so I can give it to her and come over. But you know what? What do people see in our life? If we take our love for God to a higher level, we'll want people to notice Christ in our life. And I'm telling you, so many times I think they see totally the opposite of Christ in our life. That's why we can't get them to come to church. I mean, we live in a day-to-day where independent Baptists have a bad name because we are tagged as we hate people. Okay? We don't hate people. Now, I believe there's some in our realm that do, but we don't hate people, okay? We love people, and we love souls. We love souls, but When we take our love for God to a higher level, we'll love people to notice Christ in our life, and people will notice Christ in our life. I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to come to our church if they see something but Christ in our life. They're not going to come and visit if they just see us. Because I know me. I still have that old flesh. And it works on me every day. And thankful for the two Holy Spirits in my life that work to keep me on the straight and narrow. And my mom's still there to keep me on the straight and narrow. I have three. Yeah. But if we take our love for God to a higher level, we'll want people to notice Christ in our life. We were traveling to Benton, Arkansas, to camp meeting at Brother Graham's. And mom and dad were in a motorhome. Me and Miss Jenny were in a van. We have five daughters. So we drove a church van everywhere we went because we had five kids. And so they're all gone now. There's this saying, everybody said, what about the empty nest syndrome? It's no syndrome. It's a celebration. We're having a great time. We're driving across Arkansas. And we pull into Russellville, Arkansas, to a Walmart because it was there. And we pulled in. We parked in the parking lot. And dad said, while we're here, let's go eat. Well, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I do eat. I like to eat. And so I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And dad said, how about that little Chinese place over there? Okay, there's a deal over there the size of, and I'll have to explain this to young people too, a phone booth. Used to, you had to go in a little booth to make phone calls. I know y'all don't know anything about that, but it was about the size of a phone booth. And I said, dad, we can't all get in there. He goes, oh, sure we can. I said, I think we'll go over here to Hardee's, because I can't even pronounce the name of that place. I think it was like Wingtip Shoe or something. I don't know. It was something. But so we went to Hardee's, and mom and dad went to Wingtip Shoe or whatever. I don't know what it was. As they're walking across the parking lot, mom looks back and goes, thank you. Mom was thrilled about going to eat Chinese. So we walk across the parking lot to Hardee's. Well, a pickup truck comes driving by. And this guy in the truck, he's looking at me and Jenny and the five girls, you know, and they're all just like, you know. And he's looking at us and he's staring. And so me being the good Christian that I am, I just back at him. He stops, puts it in reverse, starts backing up. I thought, oh boy. So we made a plan real quick. I said, Jenny, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take the girls, run to the van. You hold him off. And no, we didn't. We just stood there for a second. He came backing up and he rolled his window down. This is what he said. Where do y'all go to church? I said, well, we go to Calvary Baptist Church. You follow? He goes, I knew you were Christians. He said, I could tell by looking at you. And I'll be honest with you. I wasn't in a shirt and tie and coat. I don't travel like that. Maybe I should. I'm not like some of the greats. I don't do that. I was probably, you know, we have a ranch. I was probably in boots, jeans, Western shirt, belt with a big buckle because it works like a girdle for fat cowboys. It just kind of, that's probably what I had on. And the girls were probably traveling, I don't know, in culottes or skirts or something. I don't know what they were traveling in. But it wasn't that we were trying to look like we were going to church. It's just we wanted people to notice Christ in our life and didn't even realize that was happening. Didn't it? But it didn't bother us. That didn't bother us for people to. When you take your love for God to a higher level, you'll want people to notice Christ in your life. And you won't mind handing somebody a track. You won't mind telling somebody about Christ. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, do you know what happened to you? Do you know what you did? Tell them what you did. Tell them what happened to you. You think it'll work? Well, it did for Paul. That's all Paul ever did was just told them what happened to him. And many folks came to Christ. I think Coach Blankenship really had this right when he said you can always take your love for God, your love for others to a higher level, because he knew if we'd take our love for God to a higher level, good things would happen in our life. And good things will happen in our life when we take our love up a step. Now let me ask you a question today. Could you take your love for God to a higher level today? Could you take it up a step? Let me ask you another question. If you're here today and you've never been saved, this is all foreign to you. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But you can receive Christ as your Savior today. You can be saved today, and you can start taking your love for God to the next level. But those of us that are saved, and even some of us that's been saved a long time, come on now. I've been saved 50 years. Right at 50 years. This March, I've been saved 50 years. Even those of us that have been saved a long time, I believe we could all say today we could take our love for God up a step. Because he said to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And I think if we'll do that, it's going to fix everything. It's going to help our giving. It's going to help our missions. It's going to help our testimony. It's going to help our concern for others. It's going to help our relationship with our family. It's going to help the relationship with our wife. I mean, you won't fight all the way to church and then get out and, hey, pastor, so good to see you. Yes, Pastor, so good to see you today. And the kids are going. I wonder what they were saying in the car. No, if you take your love for God to a higher level, it's going to affect your whole life. So how about today? How about you today? How about you today? I know it's easy to sit there and say, boy, brother so-and-so needs this. Boy, I hope sister so-and-so's listening. I hope my wife's listening. I hope my husband's. It's easy. How about we just focus in on us today, on yourself today? Could you take your love for God to a higher level? If you do, good things are going to happen in your life.